Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Fuck up the intro in the first sentence so you have to edit it.
And then talk about it.
That's a really weird thing to say. Yeah.
Since everything went perfectly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nothing happened. Talk about Fife Club. So yeah, thanks folks for listening last week. Once again though, this week we are back to a foursome. So strap in and get ready for more of whatever this is.
There's already puns.
So around the mics with my good self Kutch tonight is our very own Haley Joel, I See Dead People Osment. It's Jamie.
Hello, I don't know who that is. Is that the kid in Sixth Sense?
Yeah. Forrest Gump. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forrest Gump's up. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Do you really see dead people?
No, they see me.
Oh. Are we all dead?
Spoiler alert.
You could be Bruce Willis.
Wow, is that a hair joke? Yeah. It's not the brooding masculinity. No. It's the ability to fight terrorists out of a tower.
You are currently wearing a string vest as well. Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Yippee-ki-yay.
So yeah, across from him, making a welcome return, is Fife Club's own Corey Feldman. It's Mark.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I die. I think. Is Corey Feldman not dead? Or
no, that's Corey Haim.
Ah, yeah.
Wrong Corey. Corey Feldman's probably not far away from that.
Yeah. He was really into cocaine for quite a long while. Yeah.
So that makes all of us, right? No. So Moorish.
Moorish.
Yeah, very much. Like,
Tommy Robinson.
God, I was going to go for a joke about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Thieves, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I couldn't get there. Morgan Freeman, the Painted Man. Yeah, that was racist. Film. Yeah. Utterly racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff.
Welcome back, man.
Glad to be back.
And next to him is our version of Jodie Foster. It's Dave.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Red hair and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do, I suppose.
Fit in a weird way. Niche appeal.
Kind of a loose end for kid actors today, so yeah.
She was, yeah, she played a prostitute in
Bugsy Malone.
Taxi Driver?
Yes.
Was Taxi Driver.
And then she was a dancer. She was like a dancer entertainer in Bugsy Malone.
She was?
Yeah, she was a prostitute. Let's be real here. She was a child prostitute in Bugsy Malone. Yeah. Selling herself for, I don't know, cream pies or something. Is that the currency, Bugsy Malone?
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh, wait a second.
You know that episode?
I didn't even mean that.
You know that episode where I said you were completely born up?
Oh dear. I've lost control of this already.
I don't think you ever had control.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all of us here today. Great. Great riff.
Bugsy Malone is just kids find cream pies and each other's faces. Right, let's move on.
I think technically it's called a splat gun.
I think it's a splat gun, yeah, it is, yeah.
It could be anything that I want it to be.
I thought it was called Bukkake.
Very good. Yeah,
you're lucky I didn't sing it.
Oh man, that is a good film though. It's a good fun film.
I've not seen it. Oh, that was Chachi, wasn't it? Was Chachi Bugsy Malone?
It was either Chachi or Ralph Macchio.
Oh, I think it was Chachi.
Was it Chachi?
I don't know.
It was one of my favourite films as a kid. I can't remember now. I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I saw it once when I was a kid and then got asked to take part in a stage production of it and said no.
Oh, I did as well. I did as well. Yeah. I played the boxer.
Okay.
Who was black as well. So
did you black up? Please, no, please don't tell me you're black face. God, no.
I was going to go down the whole line of the Idris Elba playing James Bond.
Oh, right. I see. But,
no, at the same time.
It was the other way around. Yeah. And nobody got angry about you playing a black boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Scott Baio.
It was Scott Baio. All right. So it was Chachi.
It was Chachi.
Yeah.
Did we all see, speaking of people playing the trailer for the new Wreck-It Ralph with Merida from Brave in it, the Disney princess.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. The whole, they're like, the BBC Scotland did a whole Scottish cringe thing on it.
Oh,
it's like, can you understand her accent? It was like,
because
I'm Scottish. Obviously, I can understand.
She wasn't even using, so basically, they've got a room full of Disney princesses and the one from Brave who's Scottish says something. It's not even that broad to me.
No.
But
just fast.
Fast, but they're like, oh, we can't understand her. And loads of people on Twitter are retweeting it with classic Scottish tweets. My favourite one being last night, someone asked me if crabs think we walk sideways, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since. It's a classic. It's a fucking classic.
I guess an Noel Fielding joke.
Really?
I heard him say that when in the festival, before Noel Fielding was famous. Edinburgh Festival, there's a link to something we might talk about.
Oh, hello. Yeah. So, the Fringe, eh? That's happening.
What's weird about the Fringe this year is you appear to have a blue tint in yours. I don't know why you've gone emo tonight, Catch, but I like it. Yeah.
Just the grays of my hair, I told you.
Is it just because of the parents? They just won't let you do what you want to do.
He's expressing himself.
He's testing out a blue rinse on the grays that he has in his fringe. Yeah, yeah, that's what he's trying to say. Yeah.
Because, you know,
just progressively get more blue.
Is it just because society keeps getting him down? No.
That's far, but I was just going to say dabba dee dabba dies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Great. Bill Buchanan and his purple rinse, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
24.
From 24.
It was the same thing. It was the lights.
He had grey hair, and he had these lights on 24 that made him look like he had a purple rinse for the whole series. It was really funny. Going to get his messages.
He was just like, Jack, what are you doing? I'm at the shops getting my messages just now. I've got four cats. They need fed.
Where's Rona? Margaret! Oh, God, that was a Max impression. Oh, I didn't mean that. I've been drinking petrol. It's fine.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, Penman's made us a Vespa Martini, which is alcohol on alcohol.
It is technically four parts alcohol. It's one part slither of orange.
It is lovely. Well...
He says us, he means Jamie and himself, because me and Dave are driving.
Yeah.
It's fun watching them slowly get absolutely wrecked on one drink.
Yeah. It's hitting me hard. But me and Kutch were at an event at the Fringe,
yeah,
where we were drinking alcohol upon alcohol.
And it hit me hard.
Yes, Kutch had a hard time.
It was fun. You know what? Whiskey Fringe was great, and the first half was brilliant. Because yeah. I remember the first half.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. About, was the colour of your night white by the end?
It wasn't, no. Because there's a hero in this room that got me home.
Oh, dear God. Oh, my God, this is brilliant. I don't even know this, but I'm excited.
Yeah, this is a whole new story to me.
Yeah. I was really wrecked. But yeah, we did the Whiskey Fringe, and we went in and hit it hard. For anybody that doesn't know, tell us what the Whiskey Fringe is.
So it's basically like... It's kind of like a beer festival, apart from you pay for your ticket and that's it. There's no, so it's 35 quid.
Yep.
And then you get in and it's like a Fife Whiskey Fest, same idea, yep, but it's bigger distilleries and they're all pouring you stuff. It's
all the big boys.
All, yeah. And it's all really fucking good whiskey. And then at halftime, they have a halftime orange where most of the distillers bring out something older.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Glentart 30. Yep. We had a nip. We tried each other. Glentart 30 was lovely. Tomatin 36 I had again, which I didn't enjoy as much as I did last year, mm-hmm, which tasted like liquefied God. But it was still very good. It's a different batch. And all this. So, yeah, we basically tried loads and loads of whiskeys. And then loads of great stuff. And then Kutch sort of disappeared. And then reappeared again. I thought, oh, that's it. I'm going to have to leave because Kutch is fucked. But then he reappeared. And he seemed fucked. But, you know, okay. Not dying. And then he disappeared again. And then I went to look for him. And then all I heard was, Jamie! And Kutch sat down, clearly having been sat down by staff at the front who didn't let him back in.
Oh, God.
Do you know what? It wasn't for anything particularly bad.
No, you're just pissed.
It was just that basically I went to the toilet and I came out, and when I came out, the security lass, who I swear looked like Gal Gadot.
You only said that about four times in the 2 minutes I interacted with her.
So basically you got drunk and whiskey on a hit on the girl. Great work.
No, it was very much, you look like Gal Gadot. 26 like, did I tell you looked like Gal Gadot? Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Seriously, Kutch, that is technique I could learn from.
I genuinely thought it was Wonder Woman that was sitting me on my arse. But yeah, she was just like, so you had a good time? I was like, yeah. She was like, yep, okay. So we've been watching you and I think you maybe had a good time. So it's maybe time you left. I was like, oh, I've got friends. And she was like, all right, well, there's a seat over there, but you're not getting back in. And it was just like, okay. I was like, I can't really argue.
Do you know, sometimes there's that moment where you just go, you know what, this is a fair cop.
Yeah. No, it was like,
absolutely.
It was like the fact that I couldn't remember where I'd been for the last half hour, you know. It was like, And then there was another lass who kept like feeding me water. She was like force feeding me water, basically. That it was just like, yeah, you need more water. You have more water. And then it was about half an hour, I think. Not even that.
It wasn't that far from the end.
Yeah.
It was like 20 minutes. Because I was like, it was like 20 minutes from the end when I found him. I was like, right, Kutch, for 20 minutes to go, you stay here, we'll collect you in 15 minutes.
Like a good friend.
The staff was like, is that all right? They're like, yeah. I was like, sound.
They clearly could tell.
I've got 15 more minutes of whiskey drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
They could clearly tell I was going to be no trouble to them at all. Just like,
He's about 2 seconds from sleeping.
But then we went to a bar on Princess Street Mall, which you might have seen some videos on the Fife Club stream. I think there's one where we thought it was a photo, so we're doing funny faces, but it was actually a video.
Yeah.
And then
was after the whiskey first.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, I didn't think you looked too bad in that video.
You could stand.
I can barely remember. Like, I have flashes of that.
Yeah.
Like, and then the next thing I knew, I was sat in Burger King downstairs in the train station.
I was just like, right, we both, because they were talking about going somewhere else. Ralph, friend of the podcast, stayed out till 2:30, went to fucking...
Somewhere, where was it?
Summer Hall.
Summer Hall, yeah.
Stayed out till 2:30. I do not know how he did that.
Nah. Like, he'd had, what, 25 whiskeys
well
or something,
Ralph,
like that?
Yeah. Well done,
25
Ralph.
Whiskeys, then beer, and then out to Summer Hall.
So we got Burger King, got the train home, then watched 2 Batman movies.
And had a shit ton of water, and by midnight... Yeah. I was sober again. I was like, actually felt all right, and went and had a really good night's sleep. Woke up and went and done yoga in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a really middle class weekend.
It really was.
So in terms of the whiskies,
yeah.
Then
whiskies were
what were the kind of toppers that you had this year?
So I was a big fan. Now I keep forgetting to check. Was it the 15 or the 18 from Glenfarclas that tasted like Christmas cake?
It was the 18.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Because you said 15 and it was.
No, the 18 from Glenfarclas.
That was like the first, second.
Like, I've had the 10 and I think I've possibly had the 12
before. I've had
before.
The 12 before. But
yeah, the 18 never touched it, and my God, that was good. It was so deep and like.
Deep and crisp and even.
Yeah.
I'm back, guys. I'm back. Don't adjust your sets.
There was also Glentorrit, who are a brand we've always associated with our granddads and that, because they stopped producing single malts and they've just started again. They're just getting bought out.
Yeah.
Next year or the year after, they should have their 18 and 21 out. And they had like the range for a 3-wood one.
Yeah.
The guy described
as
a like
breakfast.
A breakfast whiskey. And I was like, I'll see about that. And it absolutely was. He was correct.
It's the kind of whiskey you could pour, I was saying, like pour on your porridge or like having a crannikin or something like that. It's
that's nice. Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely lovely.
It's light. It's not too smoky.
Yeah.
The woods that it goes through, you know, you can taste all that. It's
very, very 30. We've already said Halftime Orange was fucking incredible.
Yeah, the 30 was really good.
Arran are probably now my favorite distillery. They had the Boffy.
I like them from the Fife one.
Yeah.
They're really
good.
The
sherry cask, wasn't it?
Dave didn't.
I wasn't a fan of Arran.
Oh, they're sherry cask.
I've not had an Arran yet that I don't like.
The 14's good.
The Boffy tastes like a fucking wave, but in a great fruity wave way. It's amazing.
It's a very coastal whiskey. It's like old Pulteney or what Talisker. Used to be a Talisker or an old Tobermory.
Yeah.
Something like that.
R.I.P.
Well, Tobermory, apparently the 10's been dropped and it's a 12. That they're going to start doing as the main project.
Good. I was going to ask what the story was on Tobermory.
Ah, very good.
Just very briefly, I was disappointed with Jura, who are one of my go-tos, but they've peated their entire range now.
Yeah.
But they're somehow worse than the peated ones before, apart from Sevenwood, which was delicious. Other than that, had loads of delicious stuff all day, but the what really stuck out to me were the independent bottlings.
Yeah.
They are where, for the last couple, like 2 or 3 years in whiskey, it's become where, because the 18-year-old, 21-year-olds are getting super expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now that start is creeping. It's starting to happen to the 18-year-olds as well.
You already noticed that just in the shops.
Yeah. So for whiskey fans,
mm-hmm.
you know, the independent seem to be the best value for money in finding new stuff that's interesting and being sort of surprised in a good way each time.
I suppose for the independent bottlers as well, it's like a way for them to not have a huge amount of outgoings but still be able to get a good amount of incoming as well. Because if they're only spending a small amount like a cask.
Yeah. So well, that's it. Single cask releases seems to be the order. And they're fucking good.
Yeah. Well, the thing with single casks is some of them are and some of them aren't. A lot of people have this thing about single casks. But like, single cask, that's what you want because it's the purest. But it's like a single cask doesn't always give you the best flavour.
If it's not,
which is why
they'll use it
in a blend. But there's still bottles that are going out and being sold for silly money because people are just have this automatic thing thinking the best malt you
limited
can get
edition.
Is a single cask, and it's not at all. Some of the best malts are, you know, like what, like a third the age statement on them.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's made up with younger whiskey, you know.
Yeah,
it's, from different casks, from different...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes from different breweries as
some
well.
Some of my favorite whiskeys, like Tomato Legacy, is like, it's a no age statement,
yeah,
obviously, and they've just got it down from their existing stock. But shall we wrap up whiskey talk now?
Well, I was going to say just a couple other quick things about it. So where did they hold it? Because I looked at the photographs. Yeah. I didn't recognize.
I've forgotten the name of the church. It's the church down Broughton Road.
Across from the Cask and Barrel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know where you are. St. Vincent's.
Yeah. It's the...
What was it? The Sistine
Chapel of the...
Of Edinburgh.
Of Scotland.
It was something outrageous. But it's actually very nice on the inside.
It's a very nice church. It's really good. Yeah. There's a great pub around the corner from there.
Yeah, the Cask and Barrel.
Yeah, there's also the Cask and Barrel, which is also excellent.
There's a great pub across the road, which has changed hands now. It's like black on the outside. I've forgotten its name.
Mm,
used to go there a lot.
Yeah,
usually when I was wasted, so I can't remember. Yeah. But I know, when someone goes, "Oh yeah, I'll meet you there."
So it was like it was a good sized venue and everything for it.
Really, like again, was it bigger than the Corn Exchange in Cooper, or would it be about the same size when you add the two?
It's probably about the same size when you add the two things together.
Yeah, the two floors. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it had a higher attendance. But the thing was, everybody was absolutely no aggro and all that, which was like that last year as well. Because if you're going to pay 30, I mean, there were a couple of guys I spotted who were like,
up to no good.
who were like, you know, I don't know how to, like, sort of Yaz here for the festival.
Who
didn't really have an interest in whiskey. And they were trying. I was behind them at two or three different booths, and they just didn't seem to like whiskey, but they'd paid 35 quid, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll try this whiskey.
I'll be
like,
really?
But other than them, like, you know, and they weren't being arseholes. They were just, you know, doing what they do.
And again, it's that thing, like, you see it, the day before we passed by the church, me and Ralph, and you saw folks standing outside, and again, in sort of similar states of being wrecked. But again, not causing trouble or anything. It is just...
It is funny when it closes out, everybody just sort of spills outside, like, ah! Where am I? Yeah. Like sitting on verges on the road. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a quite a nice atmosphere, and there's no nonsense. Unless if you're, you know, with somebody that likes to smash glasses.
I smashed a glass. I wasn't even that pissed.
You hoodlum.
Like
it was, I remember that.
Yeah, it was before. I think it was just before halftime, or just I think it was just before, because just after halftime, I went. I'm gone from merry to quite pissed.
Yeah.
But just before, I like turned around, and it hit a guy's elbow, and it just fucking smashed. It was completely my fault. One arsehole. And I was very apologetic. Had to buy a new glass for like I think it was a fiver or something.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, that's a bit much for a Glencairn glass. But at the same time, I'm not going to
not
drink whiskey for half of the whiskey frame. Yeah, so totally. You've got me.
Although I was saying the other day, I came back and I had four bloody Glencairn glasses. Mm. Obviously, one was yours, I think two belonged to Ralph, and one was mine. But I remember like going back 10 years ago when the Glencairn glass first started making its appearance.
Yeah,
when
rare as
like,
fuck. Well, you gave me Glencairns as a birthday present every year
because
you just accumulate them.
But that's the thing. Like I was paying £10 a glass.
Yeah, that's
I,
how much
I bought like three glasses at one point. And then it was like, well, that's them for life because those will always be.
Now, just for people, these are like specialist like whiskey smelling and tasting glasses.
Yeah. Now, like wherever.
Like a stem of a flower.
Really good.
A tulip.
They work well for all spirits, though.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But yeah, like I say, I now get them every fucking where I go. We got one, I think I ended up with two from the Fife Whiskey Festival, which have the Fife Whiskey Festival, and then they also had the Cold Down Daisies on the back of it.
Cheers, Lindors. Doors.
I got I picked one up when I was up at Arnamuchan for £2. Mm. You know, it's like the cost of them.
They're cheap as fuck now because they're
mass produced. And then, like, I go to Bowfest and we do a thing of collecting as many as we can get because you get one with every nip. So then you come back with, like, a whole load of Loch Fyne ones. And, yeah, at this I came back with another one. So I've now got, like, about, 14 of them with different logos and stuff on it.
And if you're right into Fife Club, you can win one of those.
we didn't see... Last year it was great. I was gonna say this last week. There was a guy, a fucking pro. I'm pretty sure it was Ralphie, the reviewer on YouTube, with a holster, sling. Like a sash, with like six Glencairn glasses on it.
There's a photo of
fucking
you.
Fucking incredible.
There's a photo of you at Tomatin.
Yeah, sure.
And there's a guy next to you who has one of those.
You know, he has a sling.
Uh huh.
This was a holster.
All right.
Like like a Mexican in a fucking Western movie.
Bandido.
Instead of bullets, fucking Glencairn holder thing. Six Glencairns. Like, holy shit, that guy's a pro. He's like, gets them, but takes them away to compare perfectly. Well, wow. Unreal.
So good. So good. But yeah.
Didn't see one this year. I had my eye out. I was looking for it so much.
The Whiskey Bandito.
But yeah, that was our trip to the Whiskey Fringe.
I was generally the festival feeling buzzy and good.
Yes.
And you're not massively in festival centre down Broughton Street. But.
No, but again, there's a lot of people just milling about the centre. There's a lot of people milling about Edinburgh at the moment.
Yeah, and there's a lot more of a festival these days down Leith as well.
There is more.
And I noticed that. I was like, why are all these cunts here at festival? Like, because we went to, not Joseph Pierce, the pub next to Joseph Pierce. And I was like, why are all these festival cunts like, walking up towards me, all these tourists? And then I was like, oh, yeah. Well, there only used to be a couple of things down there, and now it's like...
Well, that's the thing. There's a pub on the corner just round from... Just down from the church and round from where Jen's flat, or my sister-in-law's flat is. And
London Road?
Yeah. Broughton Road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So on Broughton Road, there's a pub there, which is a venue. And that's, like, miles outside of the city centre. But, you know, again, you've got them all over the place now.
Just expanding and expanding. Like, yeah. That's it. So it seemed to be like the cut-off point used to just be the stand. On York. Is it York Place that's on?
That's York Place, yeah.
But that's why, so I'm heading down past the Playhouse. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, this should be Fringe cut-off.
It used to be. Like, that was the kind of safe
part.
That's
the thing is, if you've got
a toilet.
Yeah, a toilet.
That can act as
a space where somebody can stand and do something.
There is some talk about whether the festival's getting too big for Edinburgh again.
Yeah.
Which there's a point at which that might be
the
true.
Case. Yeah,
I think it's more. I think the bigger thing, and you had like the stands pretty good at this, is keeping ticket prices relatively low.
Yeah,
because if you look at the actual comedy festival with all the big venues apart from the stand, the ticket prices are high. Plus, the comedians don't get that much of a ticket price. Whereas the stand, like most of my favorite comedians play at stand venues because they keep the ticket prices relatively low.
Yeah.
Plus, the comedians get a bigger share. It's better for everyone.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. And because of that, they get a loyal following. Most of the shows I go to are at stand venues. You know.
I agree. And then the other time is like when you're milling around one of the areas, you're just like, I will buy tickets for X, Y, and Z.
But I mean, I was there on the Friday night, just before the Whiskey Fringe, and I went across and kind of just for a mill about and just soak up the, you know, the festival atmosphere, and went down the Royal Mile, and you know, the usual entertainers are on, and there was, you know, folk singing. And big thing this year is loop sampling. Loads of folk with their pedals and like
that's so violins. 10 years ago.
Oh no, it's violins and guitars and whatever whatever they've got, and just doing loads of, you know, samples and building it up and doing tunes and stuff. That was what, about four or five different acts I saw down the Royal Mile with that. But yeah, just it's always really good. Went out to George Square, loads of food vendors out there, and just again, festival prices, most of them are all right. But good food, kicking about the city centre at this time of year, all over the place.
It's good, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Like,
I do love the festival.
I mean, I like Edinburgh at the best of time, but the festival's just...
It puts it up a gear, like,
it does. Like I say, you can literally go across and not have to spend much money and just wander about, and that's good enough.
Yeah, because I agree.
There's just this buzz. There's people from all over the world.
Although it does annoy me that a lot of my favourite pubs are always constantly rammed. Like what they are on Saturdays, almost every day.
But yeah, and then like I only went to see the one thing that night, and it was, what was it, Three's Comedy, and it was three Australian comics, which I will hate. but the main reason was because it's a guy that's part of one of two podcasts that I listen to.
Did you meet your hero?
I met him. But yeah, Adam Knox, he was there, and it turns out that one of the other comics was Peter Jones, who appears on another podcast
and Dragon's
regularly. Did you interview him? No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No. Because it was raining that day and I didn't want to have to hoof my stuff about, and I was cycling across and back and whatnot. So I had half planned on taking stuff to see if I could have a chat with him, and I probably could have in the end, because afterwards, Adam Knox and Peter Jones were absolutely lovely, and I sat and talked to him. I was just like, oh, you know, thanks, really nice to meet you. Obviously, listened to your podcast, but kind of never thought I would, because yous are halfway across the world, but here you guys are. And they were really, you know, nice, and kind of, we had a wee bit of chat about podcasts and stuff. And then got a shit ton of advice on who to see that appear, like one of the podcasts I listen to, it's all Australian comics that guest on it. It's like two guys, and they get their mates on, and it's every week it's a different comic. Yeah, and they were just like reeling off, oh, do you know, he's here, and it was like, oh, amazing. I didn't know any of these guys were here, so that was quite nice as well. Yeah. But yeah, just that thing, people say don't meet your heroes. Nah, fucking meet them.
All right.
Definitely. All right. but yeah, I would say go and see Three's Comedy. However, it finished, tonight was the last night, so yeah. Sorry about that.
I think we'll see another Aussie comic for all the fucking sake.
Yeah, exactly. Whinging about Poms. I think the only festival thing I'm going to end up doing is I think I'm going on Sunday to see Melt Your Face Folk.
All right.
So, which sounds quite good.
Sounds interesting.
That's right, yeah.
Sounds all right.
I would like to get across. Anavab Powell's sitting, is in Edinburgh just now. Alice Fraser's there. All the guys from the Bugle podcast. And Nish as well.
The only thing I really wanted to see was Daniel Kitson, but he's playing at midnight and I don't have any money. And I don't know as many people in Edinburgh as I used to. It's like a nightmare.
That's the thing. This year's been a bit tighter on the money side of things. So it is like, I don't know if I'll get across again. And that kind of is a bit upsetting because I'd like getting across two or three times.
When you think about a Whiskey Fringe ticket, that's £35. That's like a day of tickets at the festival.
Or like, you know, it's even Free Fringe. Free Fringe is great because you're getting entertainment for nothing, but you still need some money to pop in a dish. Still need drink money. You still need.
You can't pretend
money.
To hate every comedian you go and see.
Like a day.
Just leave just, five minutes before the end. I didn't laugh once.
Just tutting on your way. terrible.
A good strong handshake.
I respect you, sir.
I'll review you positively on social media.
I have a podcast that no one listens to.
That's not true. Everybody listens. There's so many of you out there.
There's thousands of you. Yeah. Well, sure.
Talking about sharing stuff on social media, that was essentially my payment to Dan Lesac for his new album.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, totally.
Because Kutch was like, I'm going to be chucking him some money on Bandcamp. I was like, I'm skint. He asked to retweet it. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Like the Jake I am.
But you know what? I was reading through some of his tweets and like, so anybody that doesn't know Dan Lesac, Scroobius Pip, you might know as the name.
Because there's,
but Dan Lesac and Scroobius Pip did a couple of albums together.
Brilliant ones.
Spoken word hip hop. Awesome stuff. Angle's been the first and probably their best, I would say.
Yeah.
So if you've not heard it, go check it out. It is a very good thought provoking album as well. Like you're left.
Yeah.
I once described it as twee hip hop.
Twee hip hop
at Glastonbury to try and get some people along. It's like, I'm going to go see these guys. You want to come? And they're like, what's that? Like, it's like twee hip hop. Oh, sound. Yeah.
That would work at Glastonbury.
I played it to the crowd.
It's that with fat electronic beats as well. It's fucking lovely.
Yeah.
It's really actually good. The Pip's like Ren word is absolutely
outstanding. Yeah. Even his, all his own stuff and his poems. And if you ever see any of these, like, beat slams and stuff like that on YouTube. Yeah, brilliant.
Nice as well.
Yeah.
He's another one of the heroes I met at the Fringe, actually. I had the pleasure of handing it across. My brother had made him a custom-made guitar, and it was all kind of crazy artwork and stuff, and I handed it across to him, and he was just like so kind of taken aback by it. He was delighted, but he's a nice dude.
He definitely comes across. I've listened to a few interviews with him and his own podcast, Distraction Pieces, and it's good. But yeah, his other half was Dan Lesac. He's the guy that gave us the fat beats.
Yes.
He's just brought out a new album, and it's I like it a lot.
It's good. It's very good. I've only listened to it once. I haven't listened to it again because I was going to listen to it walking up here again, but then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to ask Kutch for a lift. So I didn't. But I really liked it. It's it sounds like a more mature electronic sort of sci-fi sound from him.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
It makes me kind of think Vangelis-y type.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
It's got that, the atmospheric kind of thing to it.
It is very soundtracky, I thought.
Yeah.
I had it on today at work.
I actually thought it was a soundtrack when I first listened to it. I was like, I wonder if
it's got that kind of vibe to it. It's kind of, it switches through different sort of genres weirdly, even though it's the same dude making it. Mm-hmm. But it was, I had it on today at work just as like kind of background music. Mm-hmm. And I always struggle to find background stuff. I'm always like either concentrating too much on lyrics or whatever else, but it was absolutely perfect. It was nice to sit with that going, and it almost made it feel like what I was doing was just like kind of going through things bit by bit. I was able to kind of it was a nice bit of music to listen to. Like boys done good,
as Mark complained about this morning. I was saying that it's a perfect kind of album to fall asleep to, and that's not in a bad way.
It's
the kind of thing where, like, you'd have absolute, like, mental dreams, like yeah. waking dreams, you know, that kind of thing.
Like that time I fell asleep after cheese on toast and loads of cider to the Richard D. James album in, oh, my, or, in my old flat in Dundee. Yeah. Those dreams, mate, are fucking nuts. but yeah, this album's, it's very, you can tell it's all been produced because it's 63 days, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's all been done at the same time.
63 days, yeah.
It's very much an album.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it isn't, yeah, like it's, he's been doing these tracks for years and years. It's like he's come up with tracks in a short space of time,
yeah,
and they're more like different acts, different movements of a larger piece.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, that describes it really well. But also saying, like, about his approach to it is that it's up on Bandcamp. That's the only place it is just now.
But you can listen to it for free.
What's that?
You can listen to it for free.
Yeah, you can listen, yeah, to it for free. You can go to Bandcamp, stick it in, 63 Days Dan Lesac, and it's there. You can download it and you can pay nothing for it.
Yeah.
Or you can give them whatever you want. And like on his Twitter, he was just like, yeah, that's why I'm doing that. And folk were like, oh, is it on iTunes? Is it on this? And he was like, well, look, I'll look into that. But, you know, actually, the reason it's on Bandcamp is because if you can't afford it, then that's not a problem. Or if,
yeah,
you know, if you can only afford to give me £1, brilliant. He just wants the music out there, and if he can make some money out of it.
A lot of people do like 3 months on Bandcamp and then shift it onto services, yeah, so that they get more revenue from it.
Yeah,
yeah,
people,
yeah,
can still buy it if they,
well,
want.
Also, your revenue from services like Spotify is fucking terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, yeah, why they wait,
that's,
3 months.
That's,
so people,
exactly, and the way that he's done it. Like, he's spoken out quite a bit against like the way that Spotify works. I think it's, yeah, like, if you get 10,000 plays,
yeah,
you get £25 or something. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just like pittance for them, you know.
Yeah.
But especially the amount that they charge for their advertising and all that sort of stuff too. Anyway, I think official release for it's the 24th,
mm-hmm,
and he timed it nicely for payday.
Yeah.
That's basically it. So he's kind of done it in a, yeah, way of being like, you know, put it out there, punt it out, do the social media bit, and then, yeah, at the end of that,
build a little bit of hype.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it, build a bit of hype, and then just sit back and go, all right, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
And that's it. And it's cool. And like on his Twitter yesterday, I was sitting reading, like, he's, everybody that said anything to him, he's personally responding. That takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of time and a lot of patience, and there's a lot of people. And he's not just responding like once with, oh, thanks. He's having conversations with folk. He's engaging with them. And, yeah, that's nice to see as well. And again, he's not the world's biggest artist, but he does have a very niche, dedicated following as well. People that would buy almost anything from him.
Yeah.
Because of the Scroobius Pip Dan Lesac years as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, totally.
It's just really nice to see that there's artists out there that do just want to make music and have, like, people listen to it.
I think what he's looking for is banter with people. And that's, mm, kind of it. I think it's like he likes interaction. Like, he did the podcast with Scroobius Pip as, yeah, well. And the two of them kind of sat talking about things, and he was saying that he likes keeping people entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been doing loads of Twitch stuff as,
yeah,
well.
He has,
he's been online,
yeah, he's been
and just chatting to
that,
folk.
Yeah.
And he's just like, that's kind of how he's getting by, his donations, mm-hmm, on Twitch and all that sort, mm-hmm, of stuff. And now he's done this album, and it's just like, I listened to, yeah, it first time today, and it was like,
he's also,
yep,
he's been doing like sound engineering and gone back to his,
yeah,
roots,
yeah,
and been enjoying every minute of it. Yeah,
like, it reminds me a little bit of the DJ Shadow album that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was completely different.
The Mountain Must Fall or something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
which,
yeah,
is a, had this, that sort of electronic, yeah, stuff, that sort of, you know, sort of sci-fi electronic sound. Can I just briefly mention some other, mm-hmm, great albums from,
yeah,
this year?
Definitely.
So I've got a list of fucking loads, but I'll only mention a few. He's not made it onto my album of the year list yet.
Yet.
Yeah, he needs another listen. But Of Love, True is kind of like, it's very Dinosaur Jr.
Okay.
Sort of inspired, maybe a bit of Smashing Pumpkins, but more Dinosaur Jr. Felix Bloom, Death in Haiti, which is perfect for me because it's a mixture of jazz bands in Haiti, like funeral processions, as field recording, so it's kind of like anthropology at the same time.
Ah, right.
So if you like jazz with the occasional bit of woman like crying in between, that's your fucking thing. It's great. Scottish, you've got Scottish things. What have you got? Oh, you've got Coke Sugar by,
okay,
what do you call them? Young Favours.
Yep.
You've got, and also, oh, Pimmin, I'll mention this because you hate it, is Sophie on capital letters. Pearl of Every Something's Inside. Pimmin hates it so much.
Is it shite, like?
Oh, oh my god, it absolutely defined shite. Redefined shite. And then shite's on it.
If you like sort of glitch, and it's kind of, I don't know how to describe it, it's kind of between like glitch and a bit of dark ambient and dance, like
mixed with Lady Gaga. It's fucking great, all of it.
It's like a wall of unpleasant noise.
It's essentially a pop album.
But yeah, and if you're listening to us, Fight Club listeners, listen to that and decide who you are, Team Mark or Team Jamie.
Okay, I'm not right. You will definitely win that. Because most people are fucking idiots.
That's the booze talking, Jamie.
One Vesper martini and he's got fight talking him already.
I'm wrecked.
What was that, the name of the band that was on the Belladrum? Where were they from?
They were again? African.
Yeah.
And they were Ghanaian, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they were. Your fan base.
Oh, it is my fan base.
Beg and Ghana.
That's why I liked them.
They were absolutely fucking brilliant. Yeah.
They were kind of like indie mixed with African guitar things. Yeah. I sent a video of them.
Oh, it's not the one I was thinking. Yeah. I was going to say I'm going to do Mariam, but.
No, that
it's
wasn't
deep on a playlist really of thousands of albums or hundreds of albums I've got.
I remember spending that night listening to them, and then what I forgot to do was actually like save any of their songs.
I'll have it somewhere. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, because they were absolutely brilliant, and if I remember the name, we'll send it out.
Yeah, this is gold content.
Absolute classic.
But maybe you could just like send me some money via transfer or something. Just sort that whole thing out. Gold content.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't get that.
Great. So,
where are we in terms of time?
I was just going to say
we're about 35 minutes.
Fuck off. It feels like much longer.
No, about 35 minutes.
It feels like an hour.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Time slowed down because I'm drunk.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much what's happened.
After one drink.
Oh, God. Yeah, that hit me fucking hard. I'm not even quite finished it yet.
I've done it.
You know what? That the whiskey fringe, the thing that really kind of hit me was how quick we and hard we went in.
Yeah, we did hit pretty hard, pretty quick.
That'll probably do it, though. Like that's probably what ended.
We made the mistake. What we should have done, and I learned this last year, like halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
What we did is, I forgot my lesson because I got pissed. Yeah. Which is, we went up going, "Take me through your entire range." Which is terrible. Yeah. But
and within half an hour, we'd probably had about 10. If not more.
But not full whiskey. So
no, but it is like, what, about 10, 15 mil nips? Which, you know, once you've done 10 of them, that's still a lot of whiskey.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that. Like I say, we hit the halftime orange, and then I just remember going outside and sitting outside, and I think it was
I dropped you off at a food point at one point because you were pissed, and said, "Kutch, you're too pissed. Order noodles from this nice lady." And oh no, see, nice man! It was a nice man from this nice man.
Remember
you
that
look
at all?
Like Gil Gadot.
I was like, order noodles from this nice man, and I'll come find you in about 15-20 minutes. Okay, you're like, yeah, cool, and then you just fucking disappeared. Although Ralph said he was having noodles with you outside, so that's probably just before you weren't allowed back in.
I vaguely remember being outside, and then there's a vague like memory of there being food, but I don't remember eating it. And it's sort of like, yeah,
you probably dropped it all. Let's be real.
But it's halftime orange. That's when, like, say things started getting a bit fuzzy and sitting outside, and then that's obviously when it's all just gone thump and
wank.
Good night, Vienna. That was
how has Ralph managed to do?
Oh man, Ralph's
he's got the Fountain of Youth on his side, right?
Does
like point. He looks even younger than James.
He's only 14 years old.
Yeah,
do you know, he'd been out for a swim at Portobello that morning as well.
Yeah. Fuck off, training Ralph. For his triathlon. Yeah,
he's on that.
Yeah. So he claimed that a lot of whiskey's tasted salt. No, I said a lot of whiskey's tasted salt. He said still. Apparently, getting water out of his nose
for
before
hours
we went
afterwards.
Yeah, before we went.
Like salt water just running out of his nose at random points.
Delicious.
Great way to...
Every whiskey tastes like an island whiskey.
Yeah, if you thought fags and poles were a way to prepare your palate, swallow
perfect palate.
A gallon of seawater.
My drinks tasted like petrol.
But in a fantastic way. Yeah.
Bouquet of petrol.
Like if you were standing at the Jiffy Garage and just...
I'm obviously having had a brief hiatus from the podcast and coming back, I've brought nothing with me in terms of content. And now suddenly I've actually kind of thought of something to talk about. And it's, quite relevant to what I do for a job and stuff. But there's been a big shake-up in the Scottish media scene, which I think is really interesting, which is about the Herald and the Sunday Herald newspapers.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know about the Herald and the Sunday Herald, the Herald's the daily paper, and the Sunday Herald is obviously the Sunday version. What's interesting about the two papers is that they have very different editorial lines.
Yeah.
If you think about Scotland, a lot of the time, the sort of Ulsterisation about like pro-indie.
David Torrance.
Yeah, I know. I think it's nonsense, but at the same time, there's
it's,
a grain
it's
of...
It's useful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But what's happened is there's been an announcement, and actually the Herald haven't responded to it as yet about what's happening, but it looks like there's going to be a merger between the daily paper and the Sunday. And because they had such different editorial lines, that hasn't happened in the past. There's been clear independence for the Sunday Herald, who have been pro-indie, and the Herald who are not pro-indie in terms of their writing.
The Daily Herald feels very slightly Tory, but really good political reporting.
Yeah.
Tory isn't fair. I'd say very slightly right of centre, but really, like, I think the best political reporting in Scotland in print.
Yeah,
like easily.
I think that's pretty fair. But what I think is really sad is I grew up on the Sunday Herald. Mm-hmm. The Sunday Herald is is the newspaper that made me want to do the things I do.
Absolutely,
because it was so. When I think it came out to begin with in about 2000-ish. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing maybe slightly before, but I remember reading it at the end of school and reading this newspaper, which completely just changed the reading of newspapers.
Yep.
Before that, we were kind of like, we'd buy the odd Scotsman and things like that. But the Sunday Herald...
In modern studies, you'd be like, start buying papers.
Yeah, exactly.
My parents got The Guardian and that, and I'd be like, get the Scotsman, but then I got the Herald, and I was like, this is better.
Yeah, because at that time, I thought the Daily Herald was crap. Yeah. But then I read the Sunday Herald, and I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. Like, I think, to this day, I still think the peak period of the Sunday Herald, between when I read at the end of school and through university, I think it's the best newspaper I've ever read. Mm-hmm. And that was before we had an independence.
I think that's absolutely fair, because I was reading it not that often, to be fair, but I was picking up a copy every so often, and it was excellent. It was really good.
It had the writers that they had in the political comment section. Uh-huh. It's Ian McWhirter, who I agree with on pretty much everything. I've read all his books. And the only thing I've disagreed with him was actually today. There was a thing where he backed up Polly Toynbee's critique of Barca wearing niqab.
He's on that slant though.
Yeah, I could see where he would be on that I'm just very much of a let people choose whatever the fuck they want to do. That's all cool.
Yeah.
As long as it's not symbolically oppressive, which it could be, but in a different context. You have to look at it in various different contexts.
It's more liberal to let women wear what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better with out burkas on or whatever.
Exactly. That's where my... So you've got Ian McWhirter back-to-back with Ian Bell as well. Ian Bell is the finest writer in terms of prose that I've possibly ever read in a newspaper. He was brilliant and died a couple of years ago, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago.
It's about long ago now.
I think it was a while ago now. They had David Pratt, who was the foreign editor. They had Trevor Royal for a bit as well, who was okay, but David Pratt was excellent. On even if you look at the food section, you had Joanna Blythman, who's obviously excellent, and you had Jeffrey Smedel from the Pete Inn doing recipes for it. Mm-hmm. You had the guy from Inverarity 101 doing the booze section. You had Demetrius Matthew doing the film reviews. Mm-hmm. Genuinely, it's one of the... And actually, the best thing for me as well was when I first started reading it, there was a column at the back of the sort of the weekend section, which was by a journalist called Jonathan Wilson. Mm-hmm. Not the football, inverting the pyramid, Jonathan Wilson, but another one. And he was a guy who was writing about his journey through terminal cancer. And it was called Dead Herald, because he'd been given a terminal diagnosis. Uh-huh. And he wrote every week on the back about what's been happening, his life and things like that. And I can still remember the day, like, I'm actually genuinely getting goose pimples right now talking about it. But I remember the day when I bought the one, and I read it, and I was like, this seems a bit different. And it was like, if you're reading if you're reading this article, then it means that this is the time I've already passed. And reading that was just like, honestly, there's two things that I think in terms of reading bits of journalism and stuff that really had a profound effect on me. And that one absolutely did, like floods of tears. It was beautifully written up to that point. That last article was just amazing. Sunday Herald giving somebody the space to do that was so brave editorially.
Yeah.
Definitely. As well. And I thought that was just phenomenal. So I'm so sad about what's happening to the Sunday Herald. I can't even begin to tell you.
Is there any indication which way it's going to swing editorially?
Yeah, they haven't really said anything.
No, there's nothing.
There's
about
a lot
it
of
yet.
Speculation from BBC and Guardian about what's going to happen. I've
completely missed this.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was only yesterday.
Yeah,
I think
yesterday that I sat and read about it. A lot of stuff on Twitter as well. A lot of people kind of upset. Yeah. Basically.
So what's the speculation?
Well, I think the difficulty is because you've now got the National. Mm-hmm. So, and the National is within the same stable.
Yeah, so but it's further.
So, yeah, it's much further independent supporting than.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the Sunday Herald, to my mind, was credible indie writing.
Mm. Yes.
The National, I think, can be a bit hysterical.
Yep. Yeah, the National fucks me off with their SNP can do no wrong sort of attitude.
I'm agreed. I like the National, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I like
yeah. And they're sometimes, don't know how to say this, overly pompous articles. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like the writing in it can be a bit overly complicated to try and seem, there's good stuff in it as well, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, yeah.
It always seems to be independence at any cost type writing as well, rather than taking a stop and a more measured approach to how we go about it.
Whereas, I'll just say briefly, on the indie side of media, I think Common Space actually have, they're obviously going for a different short blog sort of format, but in terms of stories, I think they bring up the more important stories than the National do.
And I think Common Space have the time to dedicate to looking at those stories in detail.
Yeah.
As well, which is interesting because Common Space was edited by Angela Haggerty until quite recently.
Yes.
She went to the Sunday Herald, lasted 3 months at the Sunday Herald. And I don't know what she's doing now.
Hmm.
And I don't know, there's been so many changes at the Herald, I just don't really know. But it's really interesting because possibly one of the editorial decisions might be to allow the Sunday Herald to become almost like a Sunday National. Which I think would be an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah.
Mm. Or it stays within the, or basically all the Herald, Sunday Herald journalists work on the daily paper, but also get dedicated some time to doing the Sunday.
It's an interesting thing because, every paper, pretty much, apart from the Herald and the National, are union supporting.
Yep.
Daily Record has softened its tone a lot.
Yeah, very much, yeah.
And they sort of swung back a bit more recently, but for a while, they were much more down the middle, closer to the middle.
Yeah,
you know.
there was again a big editorial change with Murray Foon, who had been the editor there, who was changing things a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but I just think it's a hugely important thing that's happened in the Scottish media landscape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think just for having that level of plurality and things, I don't know about you guys, but I would still buy a Sunday Herald quite regularly and read a Sunday paper. I know I get most of my news internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on a Sunday, I still quite like having a bacon roll and reading a paper.
Yeah,
it's a nice thing.
I don't do that.
All digital now, and
I haven't done that in ages. Yeah. Whereas I used to be the same sort of way. I'd usually buy a Guardian on a Saturday, and then something like the Herald on a Sunday, whatever took my fancy. But yeah, I'm all digital. And speaking of indie media, I think it's a good thing that there's a lot of digital indie media, but it's also a really bad thing because it's very insular. And
you don't know how good an editorial you're getting on it.
Yeah, you've got shite like Wings Over Scotland and all that, which is just terrible.
And yet, yes. it seems to be praised.
I have a weird, I don't dislike Wings. Oh, I do dislike and I don't dislike Wings at the same time.
I prefer Paul McCartney's solo work.
the Farmyard album. Yeah,
only the band The Beatles could have been.
No, see, my experience with papers is I'm entirely uneducated when it comes to it. Because I, to be honest, can never really be asked to sit with a fucking paper in front of me unless I'm on a train or a plane or whatever, and I'll happily sit with a fucking metro, which is the equivalent of just slapping myself in the face. So it's full of nonsense, but it's entertaining. But my experience of reading things like The National and all that sort of stuff is it seems to be almost uneducated, force it down your throat, this is what you need to think kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas my experience of reading things like Sunday Herald, as you say, are more kind of, here's a story.
Yeah.
And it's a way of kind of putting pieces across you to try and educate you, as opposed to smashing shit in your face. Yeah.
It's an interesting versus campaigning.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing because people who write National would say, well, we're just more upfront about our biases. Whereas people claim they don't have a bias when they actually do, we're just more subtle about it.
Yep.
But I think there's space for all of that, for everything.
Definitely. Yeah. Again, like what you're saying, the National feels like the absolute sort of antithesis to The Sun. It's well, they're saying that, so we'll say this.
But
you can see
because of that, it's on the same spectrum. Totally.
And you can see the exact opposing headlines, same topic, completely different story. You know, and that's I think that is where the National can be frustrating because it could be so much more.
Yeah, I think. I mean, it's still early stages. If there's enough people buy it, and I don't know where the circulation's gone. I've not really looked at it, but I mean, there's a potential for that to be a positive thing if there's enough people.
Yeah, here's the thing, right? I check up on the Twitter page of Facebook of the Yes Bar in Glasgow.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which is clearly the real inspiration for Malcolm's politics and banter memes and all that. Yeah. And they were talking, they sell the National, and I was like, of course you fucking do. It's written by, it's basically written by, you know, people come to the politics bar. Some problems last night. Oh, God. If you don't see that, listeners, check out Libby's Malcolm character. Yeah. It's fucking hilarious.
Also, he jumped the gun on Aretha Franklin.
He did, yeah. Did he? Yeah, he put out a tweet. But
the thing about Lemmy is, I don't know if he's done that to be provocative.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I don't know whether he's done that because he's accidentally jumped the gun or because he knows everybody looks for that now. So he calls it early to try and then get the opprobrium.
Speaking of about the Merida tweets earlier, Lemmy was like, oh, my accent isn't your punchline. But then today he tweeted like a, I'm Jacqueline McCaffrey. but interestingly, all the other tweets have been like in slang, sort of, you know, Scott sort of type. Yeah. Whereas he said it, he didn't say, I've been on the heroin, you know, blah, blah, that's meant to get us off it. He said, I've been on the heroin that was meant to get me off of it. And all of it's like, it was good. It was subtle. I liked it.
Good old Lemmy.
Yeah, he is good. So I think that's probably time that we maybe head to our little nonagon.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's do it.
Let's get ready
to rumble. Yeah, the third Buffer Brother. Sorry.
So yeah, we are going to go to our nonagon for another fantastic,
the imaginary nine-sided nonagon. I think you'll find.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Right. Do you want to do this? Yeah. Right, do you guys want to do this? Because I don't have my bit, and without my bit of paper in front of me, I can't fucking do it. Right, yeah. Come on then.
We pit things against each other in our imaginary nine-sided nonagon. They fight, blah, 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 rah, gah, boom, boom, pow, pow, and then we decide which one wins.
No eye gouges, that's it.
No eye gouges. No eye gouges. Yeah, that's fair.
Fuck it, that'll do.
It's time!
There we go. So let's get ready to ramble.
What's it time for? The Badger Parade. No, oh. Different show. What are the chances?
I didn't know Harry Hill was here.
Yeah, no, I don't know where Harry Hill came from. But that's what happens when you have a Vesper Martini.
Any other impressions?
Nah, not sure I've got anything else. So Dave has kindly come with content, haven't you, Dave?
The only bit of content I got for the whole night. I've been quite quiet, sorry. Yeah, basically, I always struggle for things. So I had a look online, and International Youth Day was the 12th of August. Today is shortly the after 15th? That.
It's within
Y-O-U-F-F.
Yes.
Y-O-O-F-F, sorry.
Youths. So basically, I went for that, along with the fact that Macaulay Culkin made an appearance on the Joe Rogan podcast just recently, which was worth a listen. He's not mental anymore, which is quite cool.
We talked a bit about it last week.
Yeah, yeah. So inspired by that, I've wrote down a load of childhood stars. I've been, researching children today. And wrote down some stars, chucked them into a mug.
Yep.
And we're going to go for a classical mug off.
We're going to mug you right off. Yeah. So, yeah.
You little slugs. You melt.
You melt. That's such a good insult.
Fucking toilet. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Who's going? I'll go first.
I heard the term gammon melt the other day. Yeah. And I was just like, that is. Oh, it's everything. Right, I'll go.
Oh, we're right in with the classic. It is Mr. Macaulay Culkin himself. Home Alone, Richie Rich.
Oh!
And Dennis, wasn't he Dennis and Dennis?
No, he wasn't.
No, wasn't he? No, it's another one here I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Well, damn it. I've got the truffle shuffle himself. Jeff Cohen, Chunk from the Goonies.
Oh! Gonna have to have this at a catch weight, I think. Let's be honest.
Now, straight away with that one, right?
Uh-huh.
How much time they got to prepare? How long's the fight camp?
Well, exactly. Well, yes, I think that as well. Yeah. How much time do they have to prepare? Because Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone will set a shitload of traps.
Like, yeah.
Whereas what's his name from Goonies? Chunk, he's very much a team player. He needs the team to be effective by himself.
He's a bit of a coward.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But then, you know, being a coward can sometimes work in your favour when you're trying to dodge.
When you're like, trying to dodge trap.
The best it's going to work well against the counter fighter as well, which is exactly what Macaulay Culkin is.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Well, I was about to say as well, Macaulay Culkin, the best one I liked in Home Alone was the one where he had the door handle and he had the iron against it. And then suddenly I thought, actually, there's no conducing metal that will go through the whole thing. There's no conductor.
Yeah.
Like, because basically the barrel is unlikely to be necessarily touching within there. So unless the barrel is conducting, there's no heat conductor that goes from one side,
to the other.
To the other. So actually, because that wouldn't work.
It's not a twisty.
No, exactly.
Handle, is it? Yeah. No. It's entirely just a pull handle. So yeah, you're right. Unless it's the wood now.
It would have been an entirely different film if we just watched him being beaten to death. The
Home invasion. We murdered the kid.
We need that so badly. A new grimier version of Home Alone.
The snuff movie version. Just the wet bandit. Just cut his head off.
He gets tortured for hours strapped to a fucking chair.
He gets tied to that Michael Jordan cut. Cutout. Yeah. Driven along the train as they shoot him.
Yeah, the Michael Jackson one's inappropriate.
Yes. Somehow Macaulay Culkin and Michael Jackson, the two just come together.
Right now. Over me. Anyway.
It was Michael Jordan. Wearing his famous number 23 shirt from the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
Okay, I'm calling this one. Who you going for?
See, now we're talking about Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Chuck. Right.
Yeah.
But it's actual child actors.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go for weight advantage here.
Yeah.
I think Jeff Cohen would take him out.
Yeah. Did Jeff Cohen do anything else but that?
He's a lawyer now. I know that.
Oh, right, okay.
That's as far as my research went. Sorry.
In which case, don't sue us.
You won.
Yeah, you totally win. You absolutely battered Culkin.
Yeah, fuck
divorce
it.
Your parents.
Well. Done. Yeah, done. Great. Yeah. Don't sue us.
Yeah, don't sue us. Well done.
Although Macaulay Culkin did divorce his parents.
Was that him?
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad was metal. So. I've got Fred Savage from The Wonder Years.
Yes.
Nice. Holy shit.
I just cut to a promo inside my own head.
I've got Jason Bateman
from
Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Now, I can't picture Jason Bateman. I'm going to be I keep thinking of Bateman from American Psycho.
Arrested Development.
Oh, Jason Bateman, of course. Yeah. Right, okay, yeah, done. Right.
Wait, he was in Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah, I know.
What?
It fucking blew my mind earlier on. I was like, sorry, what?
Consider my mind blown, Dave. Quite literally. Wow.
This would be a proper scrap, though. Like, because between the two of them, as far as characters go, I remember, I can't remember what he was called in The Wonder Years. The main character in The Wonder Years.
I love that show.
His voice was somehow deeper than his voice actually was.
And what's the common misconception about The Wonder Years?
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Was totally. Never in The Wonder Years.
What the hold the fuck up.
You know, it was James Hetfield. It wasn't. It was another line.
Yes!
You know what he's tall, skinny kid? Tall, skinny Fred.
Did people think I was Marilyn Manson?
There was a thing for a long time that was Marilyn Manson. But yeah, it wasn't. It just wasn't. Yeah, it's like one of these urban myths type thing. Yeah,
that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Fred Savage played Kevin Arnold.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? Yeah, yeah.
So I always think of Boy Meets World because of Topanga.
Yeah.
Yep.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But no, The Wonder Years was great. What was it? Winnie. Winnie in The Wonder Years. What a whiny bitch. No?
So has anybody ever watched The Goldbergs, which is kind of like...
Yes, I've seen... It's actually quite good.
Okay. And it tries to be a slightly more comedic Wonder Years.
Yeah.
And based in the 80s rather than... What was it? The
50s or 60s. 50s, 60s,
yeah. The Wonder Years was. Wonder Years always reminds me of Friday Night on Channel 4.
Yeah, that's when... Because it was the Friday start. Night on Channel 4 was like... It used to be all the American comedies, Frasier and...
Friends.
You would start with Wonder Years and then it would go on to, like...
Cheers. Before that. Yeah. Probably at the same time as Wonder Years, it would have been Cheers.
And Roseanne as well. Erie, Indiana as well.
Indiana was amazing. Yeah. But Wonder Years reminds me of just being hungover at like the age of 18 or 19, wake up on a Sunday morning and being like, what's on?
Reruns.
I'll do.
Wonder Years with Rocko's Modern Life just before it as well. Yeah, totally.
Frasier always reminds me of Friday nights as a kid, or like early mornings.
Yeah.
Quite often, was it Comedy Central or something? Always had it on at like 7 a.m.
It's still on. Is it? Like occasionally, yes. I iron my shirt to Frasier. To Frasier.
Anything's better than Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Nobody loves that.
Nobody loves Raymond.
Fuck that shit.
I was just going to say, Fred Savage,
curious sort of guy.
But he's gone on to direct like tons of great comedy shows.
Has he?
He did. I'm sure he's done episodes of Veep. He's done episodes of Modern Family. He's done episodes of, I think, Arrested Development as well.
Connection.
He's done loads of.
So they've got previous.
He was also the kid whose grandfather was Columbo in The Princess Bride.
Yeah, that's right.
As well.
Yeah, totally.
So if he'd learned defense from the Dread Pirate Robert.
Yeah.
Then he's probably in with a good strong shout.
Yeah. I'm favouring Jason Bateman here because he always solves problems on his toes, are caused by his dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
But he always seems to sort it out in the end.
He seems to do that in every movie he's in, though. Yeah. I just watched one called, was it Game Night or something?
Yeah.
And that's what he does. It's like shit goes wrong, he accidentally kills someone. Everything's quiet in the end.
Netflix series with him.
Yeah.
I watched like the first 20 minutes.
Ozarks. Yeah, yeah, Ozarks. Fantastic.
Is it good?
Yeah, really good. Because that's the only other thing I can think of Fred Savage being in was Austin Powers when he's got a mole.
Oh, yeah. Morley. Second time Austin Powers has come up tonight.
Yeah. So, because I bought a crushed velvet smoking jacket.
I'm going to call this. I'm going to say Bateman will think of some way to win. Whereas, what's his name from Wonder Years will reflect on it in a monologue later on while at a family dinner or something.
Yep.
I'm totally with you on that one, actually. I'm thinking Jason Bateman in this one. Mainly because what always worried me about the Wonder Years was, why did he think in a voice that was 40 years older than his voice?
Well, it was him retelling, wasn't it? It was him retelling the stories.
But, yeah, it was kind of like Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever see him as an older guy then?
Or? No, I don't think so. I think it was more that he was like remembering how things were. So,
Jason Bateman.
So he has an unrealistic expectation about some kind of genuine golden period in his life.
Yeah.
Probably thinks he's a great fighter. Yeah. Jason Bateman sparks him.
Smash.
Yeah.
You only ate your prick.
if he was about now, he'd be a baby boomer and voting for Brexit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm calling this for Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Bateman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shall we do a four-way for the next one?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Let's get it on. Some of these are shite.
In which case, the four-way is the best way.
Okay, I've got... I don't know which one this is, but it's Frankie Muniz. From Malcolm in the Middle. Which one?
Malcolm.
Is it Malcolm?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, I've fucking lost, haven't I?
I've got Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense and Forrest Gump.
Wow.
Okay.
I've got Christina Ricci from The Addams Family.
Hello. The woman I fancied since I was like 7 or 8 or something the whole way through my adult life.
Yeah, yep. Pretty much exactly the same. I've got Raven Simone, Olivia from The Cosby Show.
Oh.
Is that Josh Raven?
Yes. It is indeed.
From Disney.
Yeah, from Jeff.
Is that
Raven.
The same person?
Yeah.
She was the wee.
That's so Raven.
Yeah.
But my little sister watched. Yeah. I fucking hated.
Yeah.
That's okay. The one.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, she had to deal with a monster for years. So.
I was gonna say her childhood was some serious shit. Does this rag smell like chloroform?
And then she worked with Cosby.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
No, Mr. Huxtable.
So I'll just say on mine, basically, any other character from Malcolm in the Middle would have a better chance of winning. Even that guy who had the asthma with the joke where he took 10 breaths between every line that ran out after the first time he was in it. Every fucking character would have a better chance in a fight than him.
Do you know the only thing I know about Malcolm in the Middle is that the mum from Malcolm in the Middle is Bradley Whitford's wife.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only thing I know.
Also, just a quick note, Bradley Whitford, who's been watching Handmaid's Tale?
Me.
Yeah. Bradley Whitford turns up in the last two episodes. He's the guy that... I don't want to say too much because it's...
He's the tail. She's the handmaid.
The guy with the silver hair.
This is great.
Yeah, yeah, great. Great. Solid gold content right here.
Everyone loves a pause in a podcast. And
I'll look it up after.
Yeah, anyway, he's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm a big fan of Brian Oldford, but anyway.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
I am, so I'm just going to say Haley Joel Osment, but it's just fucking useless. He can see dead people, so what? Doesn't matter.
It means he's about to see himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I've
yeah.
got Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
Everyone else is fucked. Frankie Muniz actually read a story about him the other day. He was in a pretty bad car crash. Like, he was doing like race car driving for a while.
And oh, yeah.
He now can't remember being Malcolm in Malcolm in the Middle.
It's probably a blessing, totally. To be honest. Let's be real.
What's his face?
He was the worst character and it was named after him. Fuck yeah.
Brian Cranston was like the...
That launched his career.
Yeah.
Essentially.
But it was also, he was like the pathetic mental dad.
Yeah.
Wait, that was Brian Cranston?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
He was he was really funny and he was really good.
Quality.
Yeah. But then, yeah, it's like, look at him now. You wouldn't know it was the same person. No. Especially after Walter White, but yeah.
I'm just straight out saying Wednesday Adams.
Yeah. Wednesday Adams, yeah. Yep.
She was like Ritchie. Fucking mean.
Yeah. She's a mad sadist.
Used to bully the shit out of Buds. Like,
and she can also see ghosts.
Yeah, she probably can.
Casper the ghost.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is she in Casper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God, yeah.
I just thought it was Adam's family and then straight on to opposite of sex.
No. No, she didn't.
I don't think I'm as familiar with Christina Ricci's work as you guys are.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Sleepy Hollow.
Yep, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah. Sleepy Hollow as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
That Moby video. It's all good. Oh, yeah.
Probably my first proper, like,
yeah.
crush.
Yeah, me too, probably, yeah.
Yeah, was Christina Ricci.
I haven't seen her. I saw her in something a while ago. Not Black Snake Moon or something else.
She was also in Ally McBeal.
Was she? Yeah. I don't remember that.
No, she was in Ally McBeal.
I really enjoyed Ally McBeal at the time, but I have a feeling if I watched it now, I'd fucking hate it.
Yeah.
Kind of like Friends.
Yep.
Yep. Indiddly doodly. But yeah. Do you know who she is now?
I do know who she is, yeah. Okay. I'm aware of her work.
So Wednesday Adams,
though. Wednesday Adams, yeah.
Fair enough.
Absolutely.
Do we have any more?
I think there'll be...
One final four-way?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go for it.
Oh, shit.
Dave's just
dispersing.
That's
all gone wrong. I've got like eight.
Ah. Yeah.
Oh, I've got two. Fuck it. I'll choose the best one.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. I've got... I can't quite read your writing... Mayor Wilson? Matilda / Mrs. Doubtfire?
Oh, Mara, right. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Mara Wilson.
Mara.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've got Jake Lloyd, Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
I just like to say, listeners, that's surprising that I couldn't read that, because Dave's handwriting is almost usually perfect. It's very nice.
Dave's handwriting is very, very, very ornate.
I think he's written that in a hurry.
It's very, very womanly.
It is very womanly. Yeah. It's very nice. Really,
very curvaceous.
Nice. It is, yeah.
I've got Corey Feldman from The Goonies, The Lost Boys, and A Bad Trip.
I love what you've put in here. I've got Miley Cyrus from Hannah Montana / AIDS.
Sorry, yeah.
I will defend Wrecking Ball. That is a perfectly crafty pop song and is incredibly hard to sing. Okay, it's amazing. It's great. I'm not even joking.
I've got this image of you
like a wrecking ball.
Swinging through with George just like looking at you on a wrecking ball, trying
hands
to hit the
and
notes.
Everything.
Yeah.
George wondering why you've got such a tight G string on.
Standing there with his with his zesty lemon cheesecake just falling out of his mouth like, what? Oh dear. But yeah, well, Miley Cyrus, I mean,
I think you're probably right, as long as you stayed away from her.
Guys, I'm going to change my one because I took out two and the other one's much better.
Okay.
It's Dante Basco, who played Rufio in Hook.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Fuck her from Matilda. Yeah.
Can fly, can crawl, Rufio!
Spoiler alert, he dies in the end.
Miley Cyrus, her dad sang a song about an achy, breaky heart, didn't he?
Yeah,
Rufio, he's a creepy dad, right?
Yeah,
does everyone think he's a creepy dad? Like, I've never really thought much about this, but yeah.
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 Who did you have again, Dave?
Corey Feldman.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So my memories of Corey Feldman are that in The Lost Boys, he just kicks everyone's ass.
He does.
Yeah,
kills,
he is
like,
good
all
in The Lost
vampires.
Boys.
Like, he does a good job. And in The Goonies, he also does quite a good job.
Yeah.
Because he totally fucks people up again.
Yeah. Mine is very good in a pod race, but literally sod all else. And actually grows up to be amongst the world's worst actors.
I'm worst a person people. And my name is Anakin. Fuck off.
But then becomes one of the baddest motherfuckers in the galaxy.
He does, but also you just don't really even want to believe that. Because they just don't seem connected.
To be the same person, yeah.
It's like your emo streak in your haircut.
Skywalker, this is my pod race, now I'm going to be Darth Vader.
God, the pod race is one of two good scenes in that entire film.
What is the other one?
The
end credits?
The lightsaber fight. Yeah. The fight at the end fucking good.
Yeah, okay, that is quite good.
For a time, only The Matrix was better in using real actors and fight choreography, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely double down on that. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Miley Cyrus can get to fuck. Although she does have a wrecking ball.
She does.
I think it's going to come down to Rufio will stab the shit out of Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll take on fucking Annie.
Yeah,
Annie. Oh god, and I'm not sure what the outcome of that will be.
It'll be a hard knock life for Annie.
What else has Jake Lloyd been in?
So then we'll have Rufio left.
Against Corey Feldman.
Against Corey Feldman. And I think even with his cool golden sword and his sort of punk Native American sort of look, I don't think he could stand up next to Corey Feldman.
No.
I think Corey Feldman would have him for fucking breakfast.
And also Rufio dies as well.
He does.
And if it's like towards the end,
he was killed by Dustin Hoffman.
He does.
Who's literally tiny.
He does have an 0-1 record against pirates.
Yeah,
he does have an 0-1 record against pirates.
It's all the others were a draw.
And yeah,
when someone actually died, it was him.
How you were talking about your early crush? One of my friends, a girl I know, so his earliest crush was Dustin Hoffman and Hook.
Really? Yeah. Dustin Hoffman?
He was Hook. Yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm not telling you, but it'll make sense after this.
I love that part that he plays, actually, because he just goes full bad guy and it's fucking great.
Yeah, a good job.
You wouldn't know it was Dustin Hoffman.
No.
You didn't know.
Yeah, totally.
It's good.
One of my favourite memories of a friend of ours, Fennec, who died, was he lost his wallet out on a fancy dress night, dressed as Captain Hook, and he went to the police station and took out, because he heard they'd had it handed in, took out his fake sword, like, Captain Hook wants his wallet back. Class.
Oh, dear. Wow. I'm down with that. I'm going
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
Yeah, I'm Feldman.
I mean, all unanimous tonight. Yeah, fucking hell.
So. Like, Feldman also, like, he's, you know, he's got a good line on coke, so, you know, he can...
He's fucking invincible.
Just blow coke in their faces, make them a wee bit... And he'll be fine to it, immune.
When you have unanimous decisions, when you have unanimous decisions for every fight, there's only one answer. It's not good judging. It's corruption.
Aye, fair enough. Well, I think we'll kind of maybe bring this all to a close tonight.
Why don't people get in touch with us via the socials?
Jamie,
I haven't told them yet. I'm about to. Please talk to us on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, Instagram Five Club, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk or on our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk.
We genuinely do appreciate it when people do write into us.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
It actually makes us feel special.
Yeah. absolutely loved. We heard from
guy on Twitter.
People. Various people.
Gold content again, right here, listeners.
We're nailing this shit.
Right.
Fuck edit. Yeah.
This will be
someone Reynolds.
Edited out. Deadpool.
Apparently, somebody mentioned us in a comment earlier on.
Brett Johns favorited one of my tweets.
Really?
He favorited it last fight as well. And this one, I was like, I think I said something like, it's going to be Eddie. You know? I was like, Brett Johns is like Deadpool in the French Revolution. Guillotines mean nothing to him. It's constantly getting our guillotines. Yeah. But then my next tweet was kind of like, it was kind of not taking piss at him, but it was just like, oh, he didn't look sharp and all that. Mm. So I hope he didn't read that one.
Tommy. There we go. Yeah, sorry.
So,
free Tommy.
We had it.
No.
It was free speech, mate. It was my fucking free speech. So we were contacted by someone, not Tommy Robinson,
but no, but Tommy, Tommy X-Core, on Twitter, and yeah, had some really lovely things to say. Just, you know, said that it, you know, we'd but he'd caught up with us and made him laugh, and
the poor bastard.
Too much.
Yeah, but listening to us all in a row—that is, like, that is glutton for punishment. That's beyond help.
That really is.
But also, thank you.
Yeah, spent a lot of time catching up on at Fife Club as I'd shamefully fallen behind. It cheered me up loads. I haven't laughed this much in ages, and you know what? It's just such a nice thing to hear.
It makes
this worth doing.
If you want to get in touch again, feel free.
Yeah, exactly.
Tommy. but that was a joke.
But yeah, it's really nice, and yeah, we're always hearing from folk on Facebook and Twitter and the likes. It's just get in touch.
It's nice.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And also, if you
tell us what to say, give us content.
Yeah, give us
content. Please. Because instead of a rushed message on the night before / an hour before yeah.
or sometimes just before we hit record.
Yeah, please give us things to say.
I was thinking earlier on whilst I was writing the name Corey Feldman on a bit of paper. Like, if you've got any ideas, please send them to us, because I don't anymore. Yeah.
And if you fancy at all you know, donating anything to us, we've got a donations page. Chuck us a buck, you know.
Buy an apron.
Helps us keep the lights on.
Buy us a dram.
See, we have a few costs, not many, but a few costs. And yeah, if you want to do that. Or we've got, our t-shirts and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, buy a fucking apron. They're cool as fuck. I'm actually going to buy one when I get paid. Probably never wear
the,
it. Like,
apron, the aprons, t-shirts are quite cool. The teddy bear's creepy.
yeah, but...
The teddy... Whenever, if you get a teddy bear, listeners, you'll just think of Gordon.
yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Like I say, you're saying creepy, but you are talking about Fife Club fans here, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
we have to
get a bunch of wrongins. Let's face it, if you've stuck with us through 150 episodes, you're fucking wrongins.
73, mate.
Feels like 150.
But yeah, please do get in touch. Give us something if you can, if you want to, or buy something if you want to. That'd be beautiful. I suppose it kind of really brings us to that time of the night where I have to ask, Dave, what's the motto this week?
It's relating back to Rufio earlier on. Just watch Hook. Just fucking listen to this, right? Talk about it. Talk to us, give us a shout, all that sort of shit. And watch Hook. Hook's quality.
Rufio got Hook bad, though.
Rufio dies. Yeah. If you've not seen Hook, Rufio dies. It's awful. It's fucking awful.
My favourite part of Hook is when their kids have just been kidnapped and the grandmother was like, shall we have a cup of tea?
That's her response. That Maggie Smith don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Good night.
Night.
Pop 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 ba 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 baby bell.
Ba 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 baby bell.
Ba 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 baby bell.
Oh baby bell.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is great.